Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We as followers of Christ have been made alive in Him through water and the Word, just like the people of the Colossian church. Prior to St. Paul's letter, the Colossians had been troubled by false teachers who were bringing another gospel to them that was no gospel. The first two chapters of the letter deal with this heresy that had conflicted them. And as we get to our text, Paul has corrected that error and now gets to the point of teaching the Colossians once again how to live the new life of Christ. The third chapter is a good manual for someone who is preparing for a career in the service of our Lord. Not unlike a student handbook, the text gives us our Lord's guidelines for living the new life in His Son. First, they are told that since they died with Christ and were raised with Him, they ought to keep their attention on what matters. Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In Christ, you are away from the base elemental things of the world, for you became like a dead man as far as anything earthly goes. What does it matter to a dead man what anyone does with earthly things?" Now raised with Christ, the Colossians would keep their mind on what Christ has done. "You died," we hear, "and your new life is hidden in Christ. Christ is our life," as he said in John's Gospel. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And being hidden in Christ, the life, they don't need to worry themselves about earthly issues. Their minds are set continually on seeking after the heavenly things, Christ, life, and salvation, rather than the earthly physical things of power, might, and possession. They look not to the things that are seen, rather the things that are not seen. Chrysostom comments on this, and he says, "See the wisdom of our teacher, and to what a height he immediately raises those who listen to him. He cut a path through the midst of all the angels, archangels, thrones, dominions, principalities, virtues, all those invisible powers, the cherubim and seraphim, and set the thoughts of the faithful right before the very throne of the King. By his teaching, he has persuaded those who walk the earth to sever the bond of the body, to take flight and to stand in spirit by the side of him who is Lord of all." The new life, indeed, lives with him who is Lord of all. He yearns to be away from this corrupted world, to be with our Lord forever. When the day of Christ's return comes, all shall be made manifest, and they shall be like him in his glory. St. John explains it like this in 1 John 3, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Therefore, the new man is different. The old has gone, the new has come, and the old deeds of the body are to be killed off. Just as the flesh was crucified in the first place," Paul urges, "put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Dethrone the flesh," he said. "Put to death the evil ways of the world that attempt to rise up in you, not looking to please others, but concerning ourselves who were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Indeed, the worldly continue to live worldly ways, and because of that, judgment will come. There's no room, though, in the new life for the old earthly ways, as they have died in Christ and have been made alive in Him. The new man makes dead these ways of the world. Paul tells them that they all used to live in these ways, and so we have as we fall again and again. But put the past behind, rid yourselves, he says, of this lifestyle. You are the forgiven saints. Put away the other ways of the world. He says, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. These sinful emotions and actions have no place in the life of the new man. They ought not even to be named among us. Rather, the tongue ought to be used to proclaim the new life that is theirs in Christ. Joy and comfort in the forgiveness wrought by Christ is on the lips of his people. He continues, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The follower of Christ proclaims truth, not lies, not myth. His life is received not by his effort, but has been made alive, he has, in Christ by word and sacrament. Salvation and all the heavenly things are by grace and grace alone. The Christian had nothing to do with salvation. It was bestowed upon him. Therefore, he proclaims the truth and not some myth that he has anything to do with it. Put on the new self. It is constantly renewed by God in knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and from this arises all true spiritual good works. The text concludes in verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And in the church of Jesus Christ, we are all Christ. The old has gone. Christ has broken down all the barriers that divide it. The undesirable, barbaric nature of man is washed away. And living in the gift of baptism, the new man rises for daily life in Christ. The new man is Christ. He is everything in the new man. Christ is. That's what counts. Christ is in everything, in every way. They need nothing else. Not a new message, or a new messenger, or a new gospel. Just the one that brings us Christ. In his holy name, amen.